You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's TicketKing.com.
Let's talk in Pack.
Riding the momentum from a thrilling overtime win just 4 days prior, the Green Bay Packers hope to keep things rolling at home against the Tennessee Titans. Hopes dashed. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempsis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's everyone. Blame everyone for this horror show. 27-17 loss to the Tennessee Titans on Thursday night at Lambeau Field. Yeah, that's right, man. I am back. Thankfully, in my usual spot, my basement Packer room. No hotel bathroom pot for me this week. That was, man. You know, I knew that was wild as I was recording it. I said as much on the show. I was like, this is some crazy shit. But after I listened back to it and after I thought about it, you know, in the days after, I was like, I can't believe that happened. I did a podcast in a hotel bathroom. But it was fun. You know, all the feedback I got on it was positive, so that's good. Had a few people mention Labatt's Blue. One joke that the episode was sponsored by them, I was like, damn, I wish it was. But then I tagged them in the reply tweet anyways, you know? Because, hey, maybe I can get, I'm not crazy. But I was like, maybe they'll see this and send me, like, some free swag or some free beer or something. That'd be nice, right? Whatever. You know? Of course I take a sponsorship, because I'm a whore like that. But, yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath. And apologies for the mega delay on that episode being available, if you listen via like iTunes or Spotify, for example. It should have been there Monday morning, and it wasn't until Wednesday morning. And I want you all to know that's not on us at Packers Talk, right? We ran it Monday morning on the site, and the people that are supposed to then feed the show to places like iTunes and Spotify, not going to name any names, but they know who they are. You probably know who they are, too. They crapped out on us. And just didn't do it when they were supposed to. But still, sorry about that. Hopefully it goes smoother this time. Although this episode 2 is being delayed by a day. But that's on me. Reason being, I got notified at work super late Thursday afternoon of an early Friday morning meeting. So I couldn't stay up late after the game like I normally would to do the show. Hey man, what do I do? Blame Thursday Night Football for that. Why are we still doing Thursday Night Football? Does anybody like Thursday Night Football? Like, honestly. You know the players hate it. They've all said as much. The fans don't really like it. Like, you know, of course we're not going to... Of course we're going to watch because it's the Packers. We're probably going to watch this football in general. But why are we still doing this? In 2022? This is ridiculous. They at least have to revamp the way it's done, right? So the team's playing Thursday night or team's coming off a bye or something like that. This is absurd. But anyways, yeah, blame Thursday Night Football, you know? Yep. So here I am on a Friday night in my basement doing the show. Does this guy know how to party or what? Woo! I tell you what, there is a big... The difference between Lemps at 41 on a Friday night and Lemps in his 20s... on a Friday night. Lemps in his 20s on a Friday night was like parties and, you know, boozing it up and rock and roll and chicks and grip it and rip it, baby. And now I'm like, yeah, my wife and kids are asleep. I guess I could sneak down to the basement to do the podcast. Sad, I tell you what. It's just sad. Sad. Speaking of sad, just sad, hey, the Packers, who, with the loss, see their record dip to 4-7 on the season. 4-7. Just don't even know what to say anymore. That mark is still good enough for second place in the NFC North, for whatever that's worth. Diddly poo, I say! 750,000 miles or so behind the Minnesota Vikings, who are 8-1 and in first place, hosting Dallas on Sunday. Green Bay is actually percentage points ahead of the 3-6 Detroit Lions, who travel to face the New York Giants on Sunday and could actually pass the Packers for second place with a win. How tragic would that be? Tragic yet fitting for how this season's gone, I say. And the Chicago Bears are in dead last at 3-7. They travel to Atlanta to play the Falcons also on Sunday. Before we get into the fun, and God, I hope you're having fun already. How could you not be having fun? Again, hey, I'm number one rock and roller over here. On a Friday night, doing the show in my basement. I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, LemsMKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. I know I haven't been posting there for a long time. I've been getting some people liking the Facebook page recently. Now that there's more interest over there, I'm going to start trying to post some stuff. Not sure what, but I'll figure out something. And maybe that'll just, you know what? If Twitter does end up going shithouse, maybe that'll be the main page now, will be Facebook. I don't know. Maybe Facebook, or maybe it'll be Facebook and Instagram. I have no idea. I'm not really prepared for Twitter to go under. Kind of built the whole promotional thing for the show on Twitter. You know, so I don't know. But maybe it'll be Facebook or Instagram. We'll see. The email, oldbagofdonuts, olbagofdonuts at gmail.com. Again, you can write in during the week. You don't have to wait till after the game to let me know what you're thinking of the team and the show. You know, anytime. I'd love to hear from you. For anyone listening on the Wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars, me like you those the most. 4 stars are good too, a comment, preferably positive, but if it's negative, what the hell, let me have it. Again, I've been watching this Packers team all year, you're not going to throw me at this point, baby. You can find us on Spotify by searching for Packers Talk and looking for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. I'm sure Vince was thrilled to see the Packers get out-physicaled, out-muscled, out-toughed by the Titans. I'm sure he loved that. And again, if you listen on Spotify, you subscribe there, which you should be. If that's your platform, look near the top. There's a little box with a star. Click on it. You can rate the shows. 5 stars, me like you those the most. What do you say? We're on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us there as well. And if you listen on a platform I don't mention, as always, hit me up. Let me know. I'd love to hear which one it is. And again, just subscribe. Things aren't going well for the Packers, but if you subscribe to the show, things will be going, just the show. If you subscribe to Packers Talk, things will be going much better for you as a fan because you will wake up, the show will be right there on your phone. You don't have to go searching for it. Sounds good, right? That's what you should do. And a special shout out to our wonderful sponsor, Ticket King. For all your Packers ticket needs, head to their website, theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. They'll take care of you. I was actually checking out the Ticket King site today I was at lunch. I was checking out their site to see the price. I was curious what the prices looked like for the season finale at Lambeau against Detroit on January 8th. Obviously, things aren't going well for the Packers, so I thought tickets might be low. And they're actually shocked. Even as low as I thought they'd be, they're shockingly low. You could get tickets to that game on the Ticket King in the bowl, decent seats for like $55-$60. I think I even saw a couple that were going for like $48 or $49. So, you know, things aren't going well for the Packers, but like if you've never been to Lambeau and the price is the main reason why, this is at least your opportunity to go. This might be your best shot. Because tickets are, you know, they're low right now. And again, theticketking.com if you're going to buy them. Okay, now that we've done got all that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Because I can't stall any longer, let's talk about this Packers L. This one is pretty much on everyone, really, L. So that's why you say it that way. Imagine making a giant circle with your hands as you say it, right? Everyone. That's kind of how you describe this L. And you know, if you listen to the show, I've been saying for, I don't know, the last 3 weeks or a month or whatever it is, that it's obviously it's fashionable in this hot take sports culture that we're in nowadays to kind of point out one person or a couple people or a few people to blame. Oh, it's all their fault. But again, that's just simply not, that's, it's not that simple with this Packers team. It's everyone, right? You have to blame everyone or almost everyone. That's the only way you go from an 11% chance of winning the Super Bowl in the preseason or whatever it was for the Pack. They showed it during the game. They had, what, the fourth best odds, I think it said, back in the summer or something like that. 11% was behind, what, Tampa, Kansas City, and Buffalo to win the whole thing, something like that. You don't go from that to 4-7 and it's over before Thanksgiving. You know, it's just over. You know, you can't do that unless it's a collective effort. And that's what it was. I mean, I guess, you know, unless you get hit with a rash of injuries or something like that, but that hasn't really happened to Green Bay. So yeah, you have to blame almost everyone. And the loss to the Titans was a prime example of that. This loss to Tennessee was a prime example of that. So let's start with the offense, right? They botched the pass-run ratio. They ditched a week after that formula worked so beautifully against Dallas. They ditched it. The formula we knew they would need to execute to have success in this game in particular, but really the rest of the season, ditched it. Ditched it. Gone. Out the window. Oh, my God. Oh. 18 runs for Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon to 39 passes for Aaron Rodgers. 18 runs to 39 passes. Now, look, I've heard the excuses, and I've seen the excuses. Well, Tennessee's run defense is a lot better than Dallas's. You know, Jones and Dillon only had 53 yards on 18 carries. They weren't chewing up the ground. They weren't chewing things up on the ground like they were against Dallas. No, they weren't. And Tennessee does have a good run defense. You're right. You're all right. But the thing is, you have to keep trying. I just don't think you can become so one-dimensional in such a big game. Not with the way Aaron Rodgers is playing. No, more on that in a minute. But you can't. I ask you, are 18 attempts really enough? Do you really think that's enough for those two guys? When we know we want to get them up around, you know, 30. 18 is not enough. It isn't. You know, and it wasn't like Green Bay didn't have some nice moments. There were some nice moments on the ground. You know, I thought Dillon ran very physical. Continued his, you know, he started it against Dallas and then against Tennessee too. You know, he's running more physical as the season goes on, which is nice to see. Jones had some nice moments, some nice runs. They just didn't get enough of a look. You know, look at the Titans, for example. Was Derrick Henry getting it going on the ground? No, 87 yards on 28 carries. 3.1 yards per attempt. He had the one touchdown. His longest run of the day was 9. But Tennessee didn't stop trying. They kept trying to establish the run. And by doing that, it forced the Packers to have to respect it. And that allowed Ryan Tannehill to do what he did. Oh, God, more on all that in a minute. But Tennessee never gave up trying. 28 runs for Henry to 27 pass attempts for Tannehill. Damn near 50-50. You have to keep trying, even if it's not working. And the Packers just did what they just gave up. All right, Aaron, go do your thing. You know? And then throwing so much becomes even worse, again, when you consider how poorly Rodgers played. You know, hasn't been great most of the season. Admittedly very good against Dallas. I said as much on the show. I did not think he was very good in this game. No. Finishing 24 of 39, 227 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 5.8 yards per attempt. So he attempted 39 passes and ended up with 227 yards. That, folks, is just not good enough. Of course, it's more than stats. It always is. Rodgers, especially down the stretch. The fourth quarter was just abysmal for him. Oh, my God. missed throws, missed Watkins, you know, on a little in-breaker, missed Lazard over the, you know, he missed. Now, okay, let's talk about those two plays. Everybody is ripping Watkins saying he kind of pulled up. That may be. But if you go back and look at the play, to me anyways, to my eyes, even if Watkins was going full bore, I'm not sure that pass would have been completed because of how poorly it was thrown and how far ahead of him it was thrown. So yeah, I think Watkins did pull up a little bit, but the pass was still garbage. Then later on, he's got Lazard wide open over the middle. I mean, like video game wide open, comically wide open, 3 feet over his head. I guess that's Lazard's fault too, because he's not 9 feet tall. For all the people who will excuse everything Aaron Rodgers does. So he missed those throws. Ignored open guys. The 4th and 3. Saw some clips of this, some screenshots today. That 4th and 3 that he inexplicably throws 25 yards down the sidelines to Lazard, who was tightly covered. Why Lazard was targeted 11 times in this game, I have no idea. As opposed to Cobb and Watson, guys who actually had good games, were targeted 6 times each. 6 times each for guys who had good games. 11 for Alan Lazard. But anyways, that 4th and 3 to Lazard, he's going 20 yards down the sidelines to Lazard, who's tightly covered. Even if that was a well-thrown ball, which it wasn't, I'm not sure that's a completed pass. Probably not. Low percentage. Go back and look. There's Aaron Jones. He's got Aaron Jones cutting in. There was, I believe, a linebacker there, but that looked like a pretty easy first down completion right there for Rodgers. So, missed throws, ignored open guys, took a completely unacceptable sack at 1.2. Oh, that third down sack, oh, completely unacceptable. Rodgers just stood back there with time, just mountains of time, waiting. Aaron, throw it out of bounds. Do something, anything other than that sack, than taking a sack. Well, that's what he did. So you know what I mean? It's not just the stats. Again, all those things that happened in the fourth quarter, he just was bad. It didn't warrant, you know, completely ditching the run. Someone said to me, oh, well, you know, they were down 10. You can't get away from the run. Or you have to get away from the run when you're down 10. They didn't get away from the run when they were down 14 against Dallas last week. So why did they ditch it down 10 against Tennessee? To turn the ball over to Rodgers, who wasn't playing very well anyways. This terribly mismanaged, you know? And they saved their worst. Oh, their absolute worst with the game for when the game was on the line. Speaking of that fourth quarter, 4 drives to get 10 points. They got none. Was it 2 punts and then 2 turnovers on downs? The last two were especially offensive to me. The turnovers on downs. Oh, my God. Two fourth downs. Four, both in Tennessee territory. 4 total yards to go for those 2 fourth downs. And they came up short both times. Unbelievable. Imagine if they pick up those 2 first downs. You know, you feel pretty good about their chances to at least force overtime. Came up short. I talked about the deep shot to Lazard. That was no good. The stuffed run, the Aaron Jones run that got stuffed right before the 2-minute warning. That whole thing felt terribly rushed. I don't know why they didn't just wait. You know, it felt like everybody, they were scrambling to get everybody up to run a play. It didn't feel like anything was set and Jones got buried. If you're already thinking we're going to have to score, probably go for the onside kick, hope for a miracle, and then score again to force overtime, why not just wait for the 2-minute warning? Like, it felt weird there. And especially for an offense that, like, wasn't playing with any tempo anyways. To all of a sudden in that spot, like, okay, well, now we have to really come out. Let's go. It's dumb stuff, you know? Was it all the offense? Of course it wasn't. The defense, the push-down pop-up stuff I've talked about all year really reared its ugly head here. Now, that push-down pop-up stuff is applied to the whole team, really, in the sense of, like, oh, this is working over here, but now this has failed, and now they fixed this, and now this over here has failed. I've been talking about that for a while on the show. But in this particular game, it was really applicable to the defense. Oh, yeah. You know, again, they shut the run game down. If you had told me coming in, Henry would finish with 87 yards on 28 carries, 3.1 yards per attempt, and showed me no other stat, I would have told you the Packers win this game by at least 10 points. Probably 14 points. Yeah, absolutely. So to shut Henry down and still lose by 10? Disaster. No, because they instead chose to be eaten alive by Ryan Tannehill, who had his best game of the year. Best game of the year against the Packers. Really, that was damn near a career night for a lot of guys. Tannehill, 22 of 27, 333 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, 12.3 yards per attempt. 5 incomplete passes. The whole night, 5 incomplete passes. 12.3 yards per attempt for Tannehill. Oh my God. You know? Tannehill, I mean, he took advantage of a damn near vacant pass rush. He found open man after open man all night long. Unreal how much time he had. As my father would say, he could have eaten a sandwich and drank a cup of coffee back there on a lot of those pass plays. Oh, unreal how much time and how open some of those guys were. I mean, oh, you'd see the initial shot of the ball nearing the pass catcher. There wasn't even a Packer in frame. How is that possible? The pass rush stunk. Just no consistent pressure at all. Said last week they were going to have to find a way somehow to generate some kind of consistent pass rush without Rashawn Gary. Well, another swing and a miss. Other than Preston Smith, he had a solid performance. He had a sack and a half on his birthday, which was nice for him. But otherwise, it's just not good enough. No one's stepping up in Gary's absence. This would have been, I'll tell you what, this would have been a perfect night for Kenny Clark to be that guy, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it have? He's certainly capable. But nope, Kenny Clark again, fairly invisible. He just isn't playing at the same level he was earlier in the season. Not sure why, but he's not, you know? That's a big problem for a guy making as much money as Clark is. You can't pay a guy that kind of money and have him disappear for long stretches, but that's what's happening with Kenny Clark right now. It's not good enough. And I love Kenny Clark. You listen to the show, you know I love Kenny Clark, but it's not good enough. But man, oh man, don't forget about the coverage units. Oh my God, the secondary, they sucked on ice in this one. The Titans, I mean, really, to me, they appear to run a fairly basic passing offense. I joked on Twitter that it's a high school offense. I don't know if it's quite that simple, but seems to be fairly basic, at least to me. Doesn't seem that complex, but holy shit. This Packers secondary sure struggled with it anyways. It sure looked complex to them, didn't it? I mean, these were simple routes. Simple out routes, for example. And the Packers were consistently beaten, consistently a step behind. That just shouldn't happen with the overall talent level of this group. But it is. Of course, the secondary might have had a better shot if the D coordinator wasn't constantly lining his guys up 7, 8, 9 yards off the line of scrimmage. I don't know what that is. Are you kidding me? Are you shitting me, Joe? It's 3rd and 5 or 3rd and 6, and he's got Jaw. He's got Jair Alexander 8 yards off the line. Why are you making this so easy for Tannehill? Oh my God, he must have been laughing inside on some of these dropbacks. He must have been laughing at the line of scrimmage as he's about to snap the ball, going like, look how far that DB is. Shit, we only need 5 yards. This is going to be easy. And it was. You know? Why was he making this so easy for Tannehill? You already don't have a pass rush. Now you're giving this fairly average receiver group. Okay, now the Burks kid. I did like the Burks kid before the draft. I think he might end up being pretty nice. But overall, I'd say the Titans have a fairly average wide receiver group. I don't think that's crazy to say. Why are you giving them a ton of cushion in addition to not having a pass rush? Ridiculous. Breaking news, bad defensive coordinator continues to make bad decisions. There's a shocker. And because there has to be at least one special teams disaster of the week, don't worry, the fellas in that unit, they definitely threw their hats into the ring, didn't they? Mason Crosby having a PAT blocked after the first touchdown of the night for the Packers. I mean, everything about that was, you know, the blocking wasn't good, the snap wasn't good, the kick wasn't great. Trifecta, baby! They hit the trifecta! Unbelievable. I mean, the special teams had some nice moments, right? Kayshawn Nixon's punt return around the left end for 24 yards, that was solid. That was nice to see him not fumble any. Nice to see him rip that return off, and then in addition, no fumbles. So that was good. Packers apparently had enough of Amari Rodgers, releasing him earlier in the week. Just quick on that. Again, I would have kept him. He obviously had zero value as a return man. I said on the show last week he should never return another punt. But I still think he may have some value as a return, as a receiver slash kind of overall move piece on offense. Feels like Green Bay, I think they gave up on him a little early. That's just my opinion. But I digress. But yeah, again, there has to be at least one special teams disaster a week, doesn't there? Feels that way. At least Rich Versace has taken him down to only one a week, right, huh? Maybe. Yeah, that was money well spent, wasn't it? Yeah, that was great. That was a great hire. They hired Versace to clean everything up, and they can't make it through a week without one disaster. At bare minimum, one disaster. So, not good enough there either. So, yeah, there you go. Everyone, you know, they all played a part. Defense couldn't get stops, so the offense was moving the ball earlier in the game, putting some points on the board at least. Then when the defense did stiffen up, the offense pissed down their leg. And what the hey, let's sprinkle in a bad special teams moment in there too. Folks, this is what bad football teams do. You know? Just bad football teams, it's impossible for them to play a consistent 60 minutes across the board, all phases of the game. They just can't do it. And the Green Bay Packers can't do it. Why? Because they're a bad football team. If that's not abundantly clear to you now, I'll just say it again. The 2022 Green Bay Packers stink. They are no good. Okay, so those are my thoughts. My initial part of the show, anyways, as you know. So let's turn it over to the Twitter bag, the email bag, the Facebook bag, all the bags. And there's definitely some stuff to talk about there. So let's start with Twitter. These questions are in no particular order. First one comes from GoPatGo at LA Packer Fan. He writes, I interact with you enough on Twitter, it's time I sent something in for my actual favorite Packers pod. When's the Jordan Love game? If they lose to Philly after mathematically elimination? Not till 2023? Never? Sure feels like they'd be making a big mistake if they don't. All right, well, first of all, LA Packer fan, yeah, you and I have been interacting for quite a while on Twitter. Always enjoy that. And I'm really touched that I'm your actual favorite Packers pod. That's nice. I've gotten some of that more and more lately from people. I guess that's a humble brag. I'm not trying to brag, but it's nice when people say that. That means a lot to me that I'm your actual favorite show. Because I do work pretty hard to put this thing together, and it's when you hear that from people, it touches you. It's great. No snark on that either. I mean it. That's really nice of you. Thank you. As for your questions, when is the Jordan Love game? Okay. I think they're going to lose to Philly. But I don't think that even that will mathematically eliminate them quite yet. Although there's a chance. Either way, I think it becomes a real discussion once they're mathematically eliminated. Yeah. At that point, I'll tell you what, here's what I hope. I hope after they're mathematically eliminated, the organization sits down with Rodgers. Somebody has the balls in the organization to do this after kowtowing to him for the last 2 years or whatever it is. Hopefully somebody has the guts to sit down with Rodgers and say, look, we're out of it. The season's over. We have to figure out what we have in Jordan Love, okay? We have to. We don't mean this as any disrespect, but we're going to put you on IR, we're going to blame the thumb, and you're welcome to stick around and hang out and help Jordan. If you want to go back to Cali, whatever, go ahead and do that too. But we have to figure out what we have in Jordan Love. We have to make the decision on his fifth-year option this offseason. So we have to get a real look, not a game here, like I said on the show before, not a game here, or some snaps in garbage time there, or a half there in the season finale against Detroit or whatever it is, like last year. We have to get an actual honest-to-God look at this kid over the course of a few weeks to see how he does, see if he can stack success, as Mike McCarthy would say. You know? How does he command the locker room from 1 week to the next? What improvements is he making from 1 week to the next? What areas is he still struggling in? Those are only things you're going to learn if he plays, like, a full chunk of time. A chunk of games. And it's time for that to happen. And they need to do this with Rodgers now. So for me, the Jordan Love game is after they're mathematically eliminated. Which could be after Philly. At which point, they would have what? But they have five more. They'd have five full games to evaluate Love. That's a good evaluation period. You know, not a huge sample size, but not necessarily a small one either, to me. So maybe after losing to Philly, or after, what is the game after that? I don't even know. Please, I can never remember what the schedule is. Well, the season's been so much fun. Can you blame me? So it's Philly, and then it's Chicago. See, here's the thing. They lose to Philly. They'll probably still beat Chicago. And then you get the Rams. You get the bye. Then you get the Rams, who are terrible. They probably win that game. So, and then you get the Dolphins. So, we've got to keep it real. Worst case scenario would be they'd be mathematically eliminated on Christmas Day by the Miami Dolphins. But it could happen before that. I'm just kind of rambling now. But anyways, that's my extremely long-winded way of saying, whenever they're mathematically eliminated, yes, that's when it's time. Because you're right, they'd be making a huge mistake if they don't. It doesn't do them any good to play Rodgers in meaningless games. No. People say, well, he's earned that respect. I've seen some of this. Well, he's earned that respect to play at the string. This is the NFL, homie. Miss me with that stuff. Next one comes from, so thank you for that, LA Packer fan. Next one comes from Lucky at the Madisonian. He writes, strange performance tonight. Did leadership tell them the effort against the Cowboys was great and then go back to the same boring play calling that lost them the season? Just seems like a poorly coached team with stubborn play calling on top. Go Pack, go. Well, strange is one word to describe it. I would say shitty would be another word for the performance. Yeah, they went back to the same stuff that wasn't working. You're right. I don't know how many times I have to say this on this show. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. We know the formula. Run the ball a lot with Jones and Dylan. Everything else grows off of that, particularly the play-action game. From there, you can start working the ball downfield, but in moderation. No hero ball. Got to be careful there. We all know that's the formula for this team to have success offensively as they are currently constructed. That's what worked against Dallas. That's what worked at times against Buffalo. That's what worked earlier in the season. And you're right, they went back to the same play calling. To me, kind of felt like Rodgers hijacked the offense a little bit as the game went on against Tennessee. That's just my opinion. So whoever's responsible for the play calling, everybody's going to have their own opinions on that. But yeah, they went back to what wasn't working. You're right. Why'd they do that? Because, yeah, you're right. I think they are a poorly coached team. Because, again, even if it is Rodgers hijacking the offense, as I've said a million times on the show this year, that's ultimately still on LaFleur because he doesn't have the guts to challenge his quarterback and go run the offense the way I want it run, damn it. So, yeah, thank you for that, Lucky. Next one comes from Bill Amundson at Omaha Badger. Oh, Bill usually comes in hot. Let's see what he's got here. Since Twitter is not imploded yet, I thought I would comment. Here's my thought. Have UW hire someone else than Jim Leonard. He becomes Green Bay defensive coordinator, and UW gets an offense not stuck in 1994. Also, I do wonder how much the thumb is bothering 12. He is missing by a wide margin. Okay, good stuff here, Bill. Yeah, I mean, that would probably be ideal, right? Leonard to come up to Green Bay and be the defensive coordinator. Someone said this, I can't remember who, someone mentioned this on Twitter, that it was interesting that Leonard hasn't been given the gig full time yet in Madison, which I'm a Gopher guy, so I root against them, but so I wasn't following that, but I guess he hasn't been given the full time gig as head coach. So someone was kind of saying that maybe the AD there has their eyes set on someone else. And if that ends up being the case, yeah, you would think Leonard would probably leave. And if he does leave, I mean, yeah, Green Bay would seem to be a logical fit, right? A logical landing spot. He almost took the job a couple years ago, whether or not he was using them to get more money out of Barry Alvarez. Everybody's got their own theories on that. But, yeah, that would be ideal. It would make sense for him to come up to Green Bay. I would definitely welcome that. Even though I was a little irked at the way he handled the whole thing, Leonard, I mean. I would still welcome him, of course. The thumb. It's a big topic of conversation. I do think the thumb is bothering him a little bit. And you're right. He's missing by a wide margin. My only thing with that, though, he's not missing on some other throws. He had the one down the sideline to Lazard last night the one down the sideline to Lazard that was beautiful. It's a beautiful pass. The thumb wasn't bothering him on that. So why is it bothering him on other stuff? You know, I don't know if that totally connects. You know what I'm saying, Bill? So, and here's my thing ultimately with injuries, because I've seen a lot of people blaming the thumb. Yeah, it could be the thumb, sure. But my problem with that is, if you're healthy enough to play, if the thumb, and I know he misses, what, one day a week usually of practice because of it? But he's practicing the other days, and he's playing in the games. If you're able to do all that, then I got to assume the thumb is decent. And if you're playing to me, then you're susceptible to being criticized. And you can't retroactively go back and use, well, it's the thumb. Hey, man, if you're healthy enough to play, then you can't go back. You know? I'm not into that. So it might be the thumb, but until it actually knocks him out of a game, I can't use that as an excuse. You know what I'm saying? So those are, you know what? Oh, I have a Twitter DM. Hold on. Let me pull this up. Okay. This one comes from my pal Elijah Price at DavidDunn21. Been on his podcast a few times, as I've mentioned. He's a good dude. Looking forward to our chat where we do the autopsy on the Packers season, which I know we're going to do at some point soon here. So, all right, so here's Elijah's question. Do you need to apologize for ripping a player for 9 weeks and being right if the guy catches fire in the subsequent 2 weeks? I say no. Also, in the aftermath of the NFC Championship game loss to the Giants, Simmons said something about old guys in the cold. Something like, if there's a blizzard and there's a bunch of young guys inside, you're not going to ask the 40-year-old guy to go shovel. On top of everything else, has Rodgers reached the stay inside and have cocoa stage of his career? Okay, so these are two great questions, Elijah. David. I never know what to refer to you as. Because I know your real identity, but I don't know what to refer you as. We'll say Elijah or David. Okay, so your first question. I don't know if you need to apologize. You say no, I tend to agree with you. I don't think you need to apologize. Because look, I assume you're talking about Christian Watson. Here's the thing. I did rip Watson, and I did rip that pick, and I've been pretty consistently doing that since the pick was made. Really, since pre-draft, I didn't like the idea of Christian Watson on the Packers. So I've been consistent. Now, he's been great the last 2 weeks. He has, no question about it. But that doesn't mean I still don't have concerns, you know what I'm saying? I don't think... Let me see what I'm saying. All we can do is go off of the evidence we have at any given moment. That's one of my big beliefs in all this stuff, right? So the evidence we had on Watson in the pre-draft stuff and when he was picked led me to not like that pick. And what we saw from him the first 9 weeks of the season didn't really change my mind. Based on the evidence I had in front of me. Now, new stuff is new, as they would say in the Big Lebowski, new shit has come to light. And now maybe you go back and revisit it and say, okay, so maybe he's starting to grow and develop. You know, I don't think it makes you a bad person for changing your mind. Do you know what I'm saying? And I don't think you have to apologize for it either. I totally agree with you. Like, I didn't like the pick. He wasn't playing well. I didn't see any reason to change my opinion. Now he's played fantastic the last 2 weeks and he's shown some real promise. So maybe I'm starting to revisit things. Yeah, But even having said that, even with all that, even with what he's done the last 2 weeks, I'm not ready to just now rubber stamp that pick and be like, yeah, he's going to be great. A star is born, right? As I joked about on the show last week. So many Packer fans are like, yep, he's great. Number one. Our next Devontae, our next Jordy. I'm like, guys, it's 2 weeks. Great 2 weeks, but it's 2 weeks. He deserves to be the number one, and he deserves to have the lion's share of the targets going forward, and he's the number one for now, but I can't say he'll be the number one even at the end of the season or next year. Who knows? Because I still have my concerns about that pick, yeah. So, again, another long-winded answer, but that's what we do here, right? So I agree with you. I don't think you need to apologize. Now, your NFC Championship game thing. Yeah, I do remember this about Simmons. Simmons was talking about when Favre and the Packers lost to Eli Manning and the Giants. He was talking about three brothers being home for the holidays, for Christmas. And he said, imagine that a blizzard rips through and there's a bunch of snow. And somebody has to go out and shovel. And one of the brothers, I believe he said one of the brothers is 25 years old. One of them is 30 years old. And one of them is 40 years old. Something along those lines. And he says, who's the first guy to go out and shovel? The 25-year-old. Why? Because as Bill Simmons said, he's fucking 25. And he was saying that in reference to how Eli Manning looked so much more comfortable in the cold in that game than Favre did. Because old guys don't like playing in the cold. And Favre certainly looked miserable in that game. And kind of as his time went on in Green Bay, he looked less and less comfortable, and especially at the end. So, yeah, I definitely remember that. Yeah, that's a great poll. Great reference. Has Rodgers reached that stage? Yeah, it's getting there. Yeah, the first time I really noticed it was that playoff game against San Francisco last year. He looked miserable. The whole night looked like he wanted to be anywhere else in the world other than Lambeau Field in that spot. Yeah, and I didn't think last night he looked very thrilled to be out there either. You know, not as he was pumped, which is weird because he was pumped last week against Dallas. But I kind of think a lot of that was he wanted to just stick it to McCarthy. I don't really think he likes being out in the cold. Because he looked pretty miserable last night again, so. Yeah, he probably has reached that stage. Yeah, I would agree with you. So, great stuff there. Thank you for that, David and Elijah. I hope I answered your questions. Is that Twitter? That's Twitter. All right, let's go to the emails. Our first one comes from Kyle Terpenning, Kyle who refuses to get Twitter. God bless you, Kyle. Twitter might not be around much longer anyway, so looks like you're going to win out in the end on that. Kyle writes, 'Tis the season for Polar Express, which means I have to be at work at 5 a.m. with a 45-minute commute, so there's no way I can watch the whole game. Not unless I want to fall asleep while inspecting the underside of a train in very cold weather. So with that said, how about that game? Back to the loss column, or maybe how about that win? Okay, since I'll know basically jack crap about what happened until I wake up, let me ask a different question. How did you get started in podcasting? Something I've always wanted to know. Go, Pack, go. I love when you send these emails, because I think you did this last year, too, talking about the Polar Express thing and how you can't watch all the games now because of it. I think it was if they're night games in particular. I know you mentioned that. So you've done the how about that loss or how about that win. It's funny. I enjoy that. It makes me laugh, Kyle. How did I get started in podcasting? Well, Adam and Gene and I started with the show. So we started Old Bag of Donuts as a blog back in 2009. It was right before free agency in 2009 when I just moved back to Minneapolis. So I had just moved back to Minneapolis. Quick history lesson. I had just moved back to Minneapolis about a year after graduating college from the University of Minnesota, Sky UMass. Who hates Iowa? We hate Iowa. I moved back, and Adam and Gene had the idea, I think it was. Gene said, we should start a Packers blog. And I was like, we should start a Packers blog. And then we mentioned it to Adam, and Adam was like, yeah, let's do it. So we started we were going to start one, but we didn't know what to call the damn thing. We were going through names. One of the names we almost picked was Dan Devine's dog. Which is obviously a grim chapter in Packers fan history. Although that's an urban legend. Apparently Packers fans didn't actually kill Dan Devine's dog. back in the day. But it was so kind of grimly hilarious. We were like, let's call it Dan Devine's dog. And then we didn't. And then one night, Adam and I and a couple of guys were at a Minnesota Timberwolves game. This is back when the Timberwolves were fucking terrible. And you could get tickets. You could get lower bowl seats for like, I think they paid you to go to the games. And they were playing, I think it was like the Indiana Pacers or something. I mean, it's not good basketball, but there wasn't anything else to do, so we went on a Friday night. So we're sitting there at the game, and Adam turns to me and goes, you know what, for the blog, how about Old Bag of Donuts? And I'm like, Frankie Winter's nickname? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, dude, let's go with that. So that's how we got the nickname. That's how we got the name Old Bag of Donuts. And then we did the blog for, what, all of 09, and then all of 10, and then in the fall of 2010, October of 2010, Adam and I went to go visit Gene out in D.C. And Adam and Gene and I went to the Packers, then Washington Redskins, now Commanders, game at FedEx Field, which I mentioned on the show was a toilet. It was a disastrous day for the Packers. Finley blew his knee out. Matthews injured his hamstring at halftime. They lost to McNabb and Washington in OT. But that was when we'd been talking about doing a podcast, and then Adam and I being out there visiting Gene, we did the first Old Bag of Donuts podcast at his kitchen table the day after the game. So that's how we got our start doing the podcast, and then it was the three of us for a while. And then what year was it? It's all a little hazy for me now. Was it 2012 or 2013? Adam and I. So it was the three of us, and then that kind of, we stopped doing it for, then that kind of petered out. And then it was Adam and I did the Old Bag, continued on the Old Bag of Donuts until, I think it was right around this time of year. November of 2015 is when we stopped doing it. And then I briefly started a show called Down the Donut Hole, which was just me. And then did a few episodes of that and wasn't really thrilled with it, how it turned out. And then at the start of the 2018 season, McCarthy's last year, is when I started Lemps Talking Pack. So there you go. There's a quick history lesson on how I got started in podcasting and how I got from the start to where I am now. So thank you for that, Kyle. Okay, our next one comes from Philip. Titles his email, Back to Reality. Philip writes, watching this offense go 3-and-out is painful. 12's playing average at best. If he comes back next year, I do think he can piece it together again. When things aren't going well, anyone can get into a slump. Rodgers had to be masterful in this game to win, and he wasn't. You're right, he did have to be masterful for them to win. Especially if you're going to, again, as I keep saying, go away from the run-heavy formula that they really needed to roll with. If you're going to put the ball in 12's hands, then he has to be great. And he wasn't. He wasn't even good, in my opinion. So I agree with you on your last point, Philip. If he comes back to next year, can he piece it together? That's an interesting question, you know? I guess I hadn't really considered that because in my mind, I really do believe this will be his last year in Green Bay. But if he comes back, I mean, there's so many things, you know, that will look different. Because Bakhtiari's not going to be back. They gained $6 million of cap space by cutting Bakhtiari, and they're going to need that space. I don't think Bakhtiari will be back. At this point, I don't think Elgton Jenkins will be back. So the offensive line will look much different. Lazard's not going to be back. Aaron Jones definitely isn't going to be back. I believe they save, is it $10 million on the cap in cutting him? So Aaron Jones isn't going to be back. So it's going to be a much different looking offense. Yeah. You know, they're going to have to add more guys. They're going to have to add more receivers. You would assume through the draft. They're going to have to get some more tight end help. So it's a young, you know, it's a kind of a new look group this year. And in a lot of ways, it'll be a newer looking group next year. There you go. It was really new looking this year. Not quite as new next year, but there'll still be a lot of new pieces. So Rodgers, again, will have to get acclimated to all those guys. You know, can he get it together next year? I don't know. Someone said to me on Twitter, he's not washed up, but he's pre-washed. And I don't know. I have my doubts that he can piece it together. I just feel like it's going to be continuing downward after this. But that's just me. But thank you for that, Philip. Our next one comes from PB Ziggy, I think is what you want me to call you. That's what you've signed your previous email, so let's go with that. Titles his email, Snow Big Deal. Yeah, especially on a cold and snowy November night. They ran the ball 18 times. If that Vince Lombardi statue could throw up, I guarantee it barfed all over the place in the plaza out there. Oh, my God. Anyway, Ziggy writes, Lemps, I remember not too long ago the days where the Packers used to feast on an opponent at Lambeau Field on a snowy, winter-like football night. To win by less than 10 wouldn't be too much to ask out of the norm. This offense is boring, predictable, and even anemic. This defense plays uninspired with the softest coverage, and it's time LaFleur makes a much-needed midseason change to the D-coordinator coaching position. Amari was the casualty last week. Barry should be this week. Or how about Hammy Watkins? Better yet, LaFleur should just succumb to purchasing a clock-in, clock-out machine on the sideline, as it appeared the team was out there tonight to just clock in, pick up their paycheck, and clock out to somewhere warm on their mini-buy. Here's a good option. And he actually sent me a picture of a time clock, an old school. This looks like from the 60s. This is nice. It's a nice looking time clock. This soft, sorry excuse for a foosball, I mean football, team is an utter embarrassment. Maybe we've been spoiled over the years, but these games are utterly uninspiring, to say the least. Goodbye, 2022 postseason. Regards, PB Ziggy. Yeah, those were the good old days, hey? Especially when you got, like, a warm-weather team coming into Lambeau. It was like, oh, we're gonna beat the shit out of these guys. Those days are long gone. Those days are over. You are right about that, Andy. Excuse me, Ziggy. Sorry. Yeah, you're right about the offense. I mean, it is predictable. And it's boring when they go to the approach they went to last night, which is just Rodgers slinging it all over the yard, missing guys, and, you know, it's just the hero ball shit. Yeah, it's boring to me. And it's very predictable. You're right. And teams know it. Teams know what it's going to be once they go away from the run. Yeah. Teams know. That's another reason why the hero ball thing doesn't work. You're right. Yeah, the defense plays uninspired. I think it's fair to say they pretty much have quit on Joe Barry, I think, at this point. Minus a few guys, maybe like Preston Smith, for example. Yeah, why not? I have more on Barry towards the end of the show. But yeah, I think it's definitely fair to say that they've quit. I think that's why they're playing so uninspired. Will they make a midseason change? Again, more on that in a minute. No, I don't think they're going to. Hammy Watkins. Again, the thing with Hammy Watkins, people go, well, he pulled up. He pulled up on that run. I go, yeah, but on that pass play, I go, yeah, but that's not the first time he's done that. First of all, why is Rodgers even targeting Hammy Watkins in that position? In that spot, in that huge spot in the game, that big of a spot, why are you going to Sammy Watkins? First mistake right there. Why is the play designed for Sammy Watkins? Huge mistake, another mistake. But again, even with Watkins pulling up, that ball was so far out in front of him, I don't think even full bore he catches it. I definitely think as these games continue to decline, Watkins needs to be one of the first guys phased out of this offense. Yeah, as they start giving younger guys a look. Yeah, you're right. It was weird because you're right. I didn't think the effort was there. I didn't. Lucky's question on Twitter touched on that too. When I got to the Twitter questions, he touched on that. Yeah, I didn't think the effort was overall there, which is weird because it was such an inspiring win against Dallas. And everybody was so hyped up coming off the field. Now, I know it's tough to get up again 4 days later, but like, I almost thought the short break would be a good thing for this team because like, oh, you know, we've got the momentum, no time, no rest for the wicked. Like, let's go. Right back into it. Let's ride this momentum 4 days later. Let's get this fucker done, and let's go to the mini-bye. And it was I think you're right, it was a fairly flat effort overall, which was strange to me. It did have a clock-in, clock-out feel, as has been the case for a lot of the season. Which, again, just keep saying it. That falls on LaFleur. Foosball, that's funny. They are an embarrassment. Have we been spoiled? I guess. I always laugh at the spoiled thing because it's sports and it's all fun. It's the toy department. I don't think there's anything wrong. I know, I've referenced it before. I hate the whole entitled town bullshit. I think that's so dumb. It's sports. It's the toy department. It's okay to be a little greedy. This is all fantasy world. It's all just fun. It's okay to be greedy. And it's okay to be greedy when you've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the last 30 years. It's not wrong to say, you know what, I think this team should win a championship. That doesn't make you spoiled or greedy. I hate that stuff. Entitled Town is right up there with RELAX and Carry the G as three things I just do not like. I don't. It's kind of a growing list, but yeah. So I don't know if we're inspiring, but you're right. These games are utterly uninspiring. Yeah. That was a tough watch last night. Thursday Night Football is always a tough watch anyways, or usually is. That was a tough watch. And I love the Packers. You know, I haven't missed a game since, what was it, October? Or no, it was November of 97 was the last time I missed a game. But even I got to say, it's tough to watch, for sure. So good stuff there, Ziggy. Our next one, so we got Kyle, Philip, Ziggy. Next one comes from, Kyle, who used to have Twitter, got rid of it, got it again, and got rid of it again. He sent me something pregame. He went to the game. Sent me a photo. Looks like he and his fam had good seats. Said he saw Richard Sherman pregame and yelled at him it was an interception, referencing the fail Mary. So that made me laugh, Kyle. Thank you for that. His email, Lemps Talking Titans. Hey, Chris. Had a good time at the game, even with a loss. Traveled a long way to be there, so you bet your ass we didn't leave early. Thursday Night Football ended up being an extremely drunk environment inside the stadium. Not in a fun way either. Dude behind us pissed in a bottle, but missed it big time. Gotta wash my winter pants now. But on the plus side, it meant everyone was standing for most of the game. Still wouldn't recommend it if you have the choice of it or a Sunday game. By the end of the third quarter, fans were cold and tired, so the noise on third downs wasn't great. Way, 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 way too many Titans fans there as well. Watching at home doesn't do it justice. Derrick Henry is a massive human being. However big you think, add about 20% on that. Just saw a highlight of Ja making a major business decision instead of tackling him. I get it, but also it's disappointing to see. The two touchdowns and the interception happened right in front of us, which was awesome. This team might not be very good right now, but I still love them. Go Pack Co. I'm going to give you a round of applause. Someone pissed on your winter pants, and you still didn't leave the game early. You, sir, are a real MFing fan, I'll tell you that. That's great stuff, Kyle. I don't think I've ever left. I've never really left early. I left the Jets game. My wife and I left the Jets game this year. I think it was after the two-minute warning or right at the two-minute warning. But, I mean, that's not really, I don't even consider that leaving early. You know? So, I think that's the only time I've ever done that. Every other time I've stayed till the end. So, yeah. Props to you and the fam for not leaving early. It's good stuff. Yeah, I had a feeling. Night games at Lambeau are just a drunk mess. Oh, my God. My first game was October 10th, 1993. My father took me. It was a Packers-Broncos game. I think I'm going to do something about this in the offseason. It was such a big moment for me. But Packers-Broncos, so far, Reggie, John Elway. The game was on TNT, kids. TNT used to do Sunday Night Football, if you can remember that far back. And, like, even it was my 12th birthday, and I still can remember how drunk the stadium was. That was my first experience at Lambeau. It was a night game. And everybody was hammered. There were people, like, smoking cigarettes around us in the stands, which, my God, you'd get shot if you did that now. But there were people drunk. People had flasks. People were sneaking bottles in. I was like, what's going on here? It's always been that way. Night games are just a mess. They're just a drunk shit show at Lambeau. My God. Even now, I'm like, my dad took me to that. I was 12. But, yeah. So I'm not surprised it was extremely drunk. And honestly, I'm not even surprised the guy behind you tried to piss into a bottle and missed. That actually doesn't surprise me based on all the crazy shit I've seen at night games at Lambeau throughout the years. Still horrific, but... Yeah, you could tell on TV, Kyle, the noise was definitely down in the second half. I thought the crowd was a Milwaukee game. I thought my fellow Milwaukeeans, my Milwaukee peeps, I thought they brought the noise early. I thought it was fairly noticeable the first half. You know, but as the Titans were picking up third down after third down, they were, what, 6 of 9 on third downs at the half? I don't even know what they finished as. But they were converting 67% on third downs in that first half. At a certain point, you just keep getting kicked in the nuts over and over again. It's like, I'm not going to get up and make noise for this. So I think the cold probably had something to do with it, and people being tired, and yeah. But I also think just the Titans continually getting Green Bay on third down probably was a reason why the noise, because you could tell in the second half that the noise level went down. That's interesting about Henry. Yeah, if you've never been to an NFL game, these guys are so much bigger in person. Yeah, you can't even believe how huge these dudes are. It's like, oh my God. They're so big, you look at them and go like, even if I quit my job and dedicated my life to fitness and weightlifting and nutrition and working with, you know, strength and conditioning people, I could never get as big as these dudes. Even when I was younger on my best day, I don't feel like I could ever get as big as some of these guys. In terms of muscle, you know what I mean? And mass and everything. That's how big these dudes are in person. It's ridiculous. So yeah, I'm not surprised about Henry. Yeah, Ja made a business decision. I think a couple guys did on Henry last night. Again, I think you're right, it is disappointing. I think that's a symptom, again, of a defense that's largely quit on their coordinator, which stinks, but that's what it is. I'm glad all those things happened in front of you, the touchdowns, the interceptions, that's awesome. And you're right, we're always going to love the Packers. Look, whether they win a championship or they suck, it doesn't matter. We're always going to love the Packers. We're not going anywhere. You know, I mentioned this on Twitter today, it's been funny for me to see all these other fans of all these other teams dancing on Green Bay's grave. And some fans are mad about it. I'm not. You know why? Because it shows we matter. These other fucking fan bases, you wish your team mattered as much as ours does. Go check the TV ratings. I think, what, 3 of the top 5 highest rated games of the year on television involve the Packers. I think it's the Packers-Patriots, Packers-Cowboys, and Packers-Bucks. Most of you guys, most of these other fans, you wish your team mattered like ours does. I just wanted to get that off my chest. Like, go ahead and dance on your grave. You know what? It's not going to make your team matter anymore. We still, whether you love us or you hate us, people watch. People care about the Packers. That means something. So, and we're not going anywhere. Whether this team is good, you know, they can rebound next year, or they suck for the next 20 years, we're not going anywhere. Write that down. So thank you for that, other Kyle. Okay, are those all the emails? Oh, I have one more. Hold on. Right. Let's see, we got Kyle, Philip, Ziggy, Kyle, and Rich. Yes. Rich, who titles his email, didn't watch. Rich writes, well, first of all, let me tell you, if you get a chance to see Reba McEntire, do it. Nobody commands a stage like her. As for my fellow Packers fans, one, there's peace and acceptance of reality. And two, give thanks there will be no more losses until after Thanksgiving. So it's decision time. The first two I suggest is shutting down Jenkins and Bach. Their knees are not right. There's no good I can see playing them. It gives Tom 6 games of left tackle experience and makes Jenkins' chances to be what he was before the injury in 2023. Lemp Nation appreciates you, dude. Rich. Okay, so first of all, Lemp Nation. Now, we've got to decide on this. Is it Lemp Nation or Lemp's Legion? Because a few weeks ago, someone wrote in saying Lemp's Legion, so we have to decide now. What am I? Are we a Legion or a Nation? We should do like a meetup, like Comic-Con, like Lemps-Con. That would be fun. I think I talked about that around the time of the London game, that people were doing these like meetups. It was like a Cheesehead TV meetup. I think the Packers therapy guys did a meetup in London. I'm too broke to go, and I don't like flying anyway, so I didn't do one, but we could do, like, a LempsCon here in Milwaukee. What would we do? Just drink and talk about the Packers, probably, right? Pull out, like, old game tapes from, like, the 90s and shit? Maybe watch the Super Bowl wins? That would be fun. I don't know what we would do. That would be interesting. We should work on that. Somebody should put that together. But not me, though. So thank you for that, Rich. Reba! My father would have liked you, Rich. My father loved Reba. Oh, he loved him some Reba McEntire. Whew. The songs, but also he just thought she was hot. So, big, big, big time. Andy Lempsis was a big, big, big time Reba McEntire fan. So my father would have loved hearing that from you. Yeah, you're right. There is peace and acceptance of reality. And I think you're starting to see that set in. You know, I think you're starting to see people accept that this is just a bad team and they're not going to make the playoffs. And hey, you know what? It's 6 weeks, but it's not that much longer till the season's over. So I do think you're right. There's peace in that. And I found that. And I think other fans are starting to find that too. I agree. No more last slack for Thanksgiving. You're right about that. Shutting down Jenkins and Bach. That's interesting. Yeah, I think getting Tom 6 games at left tackle, I see what you're saying. Or you could also say it would give him a chance to move Yosh back to left tackle, which I think is his more natural position. I think he's been doing well at right tackle for the most part. But it would give them a chance to move Yosh back to left tackle and play Tom on the right side somewhere, probably at right tackle, and see what that tackle combination looks like. Because I do kind of think that might end up being their combination next year. Because I don't think Bakhtiari will be back. Jenkins' chances, well, the thing with Jenkins is he's a free agent. And I don't know what they do there, but I don't think he'll be back. No. The Packers can't afford to pay a guy and get stuck in a Bakhtiari situation again where they're paying a guy a lot of money. They can't give him a long-term deal, I'm saying. Because they can't get stuck in that spot again where they're paying a guy a lot of money and he just doesn't, he can't live up to it. I think the best they can do with Jenkins at this point, considering his performance and their cap situation, is probably like a one-year prove-it deal. And I tend to think he'll get a bigger deal elsewhere, so I actually don't think Jenkins will be back at this point, sadly. But I see what you're saying about Tom. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, great stuff there, Rich. Thank you. Okay, so those are all the emails. So let me just go through my list here quick. Twitter, DM, email. Okay, let's go to Facebook. Got some there. It's going to be a long show, but it's Friday night. I don't got to work tomorrow, baby, so what the hell? And you guys have said over and over again you like the long shows, so let's go long. All right, hang on here. Got to go to a Facebook Messenger here. Hold on. All right. This next one comes from... hold on. Oh, it's from Daniel. Okay, it's from Daniel in Vancouver. Daniel wrote in for the first time last week, wrote in again for here. So Daniel writes, "Well, my Canucks are a fully developed dumpster fire. My Packers are pretty much a fully developed dumpster fire too. But hey, it's not getting cold here this winter." I think we can all agree that the season is over now and the offseason is going to be ugly. Whatever, I think it was one of the Kyles asking for the jersey recommendation. I literally still don't have a jersey, but if I get one, it probably would be... number 2. There's a bunch of numbers I like, but number 2 I feel the closest with. Wow. Tough when two of your favorite sports teams are getting booed on their home field / ice. Oh, and I agree with you about LaFleur not being on the same level than McCarthy yet. And it looks like he will have a hard time getting there. Okay, Daniel. So, yeah, I know things aren't going well for the Canucks. Yes. Apologies for that. Things are finally starting to get a little... I haven't done Red Wings talk for a minute on the show because the Packers have been so bad, and then when the Lions beat them, I was like, you're not getting any Red Wings talk after that shit. So the Red Wings are doing okay. Yeah, they're doing all right. I think they're still... If the playoffs start today, which of course they don't, but I think they'd be in there. So... But yeah, sorry about the Canucks. That's a bummer. Yeah, the season is over now. Yeah, the offseason is going to be ugly. Yeah. Now, we said this... We thought this offseason was going to be ugly, too, and it wasn't due to the cap gymnastics pulled off by Gut and Russ Ball. But I don't think they'll be able to do that again. No. They were like the guy, what was his name, the Wolf? in Ocean's 12 when he was doing the dance under all the wires trying to steal, what was it, the Fabergé egg or whatever the hell it was? You know what I'm talking about? When he was doing the, they were playing that, like, techno music, and he's doing the crazy, all the moves to get underneath all the wires, the laser wires. I don't think they'll be able to do that again, though. No. So it's probably going to be ugly. You're right. A lot of guys won't be back. Yeah, one of the Kyles was asking about the jersey recommendation. We said you'd go with two, huh? That's a good choice. Sure. I don't. Is there a Packer? Is Crosby two? Is Crosby three? Drawing a blank at the moment. But yeah, two would be cool. Sure. The boos, yeah, they really got booed. They really heard it last night. It was loud at the Jets game I went to, but you could really hear it on TV last night. Milwaukee crowds, a lot of that nice stuff that you'll get from a Green Bay crowd, that shit goes out the window. The Milwaukee crowd, it's a little bit rougher down here. I'll say that. Just in general. So the attitude is a little bit tough. It's a little bit more hardened down here in Milwaukee. So, yeah, Milwaukee crowd is not going to put up with what a Green Bay crowd would put up with as far as a terrible performance. So I wasn't surprised that the boos were so loud. No. And it was justified. Again, I'm pro-booing, as I've said on the show. Yeah, and you're right about, I'm glad that you agree with me about LaFleur. And, yeah, it looks like he's going to have a hard time. It looks like he's going to have a hard time getting to Mike's level. And it was nice to see people agree with me on that. What I said on the show last week, that LaFleur's not in McCarthy's class yet. No, he isn't. So thank you for that, Daniel. Our next one comes from Rob over in London. Rob writes, I will just go straight to the point. The way that this season has turned out, I'm actually no longer angry or upset. The Cowboy game was more down to a good old choke job from McCarthy and the Cowgirls. And I, for one, was not betting it was the game that would kickstart the season. The Titans' result was as expected, and I just hope that we can all stop pretending the season can be saved and now plan for the future. At times, we look good offensively when playing with tempo and pace, but the critical part of me is still thinking why 12 is out there in bad form and banged up. He missed some real open players, which were basic throws. He even blamed them on him being unable to grip the ball properly. For me, I would have got Love in so Rodgers was rested, especially as the Titans' defense was banged up. Now on to the defense. It's got to the point where I think Barry must have some dodgy photos of Matt LaFleur. There's no other reason why he's still in the job. Why is he so insistent on his soft coverage? I think there was a throw to the Titans tight end in the third quarter where I was closer to him, and I live in London. Savage is still an issue, but hey, nothing new there. I've been very critical of the team and even with Barry, but Matt LaFleur looks short of confidence, answers, or accountability. Apart from his pre-recorded message that we need to run the ball better. Does bear the question, is he the man who can lead this team? All right, great stuff, Rob. Lots to unpack here. Pick out some moments here. Yeah, I don't know if it was a choke job by McCarthy, although I do think he botched it on that overtime call. It was a blip on the radar. I said on the show last week, there was a chance it could be that, and that's what it was. It was a fun blip, a fun detour. But a detour nonetheless. That's all it was. So yeah, I agree with you. I don't agree with the choke job, but yeah, it was just a 1 week thing. You're right, and we can stop pretending now because the season's over. Yeah, it's funny that Rodgers did kind of blame the thumb, didn't he? That's why people say, oh, Rodgers won't handle this well. I actually don't know if he'd be. I think he'll be a little pissy. But I don't know if he'll be that mad if they say we're going to put you on IR. Because I think the thumb is pretty screwed up. Or, let me rephrase that. It might be screwed up, but again, like I said earlier to Bill's question. Even if it is, he's out there playing. So you can't use that as an excuse. I still believe that. But I think the thumb is maybe to the point where I don't know if he would be mad if they shut him down. No, I don't know if he would take it like people assume he would. Let's see. What else? why is he so insistent on the soft coverage? Because that's what coordinators do. You know, I got to this position by being this way. I'm not going to change who I am now. That's way more prevalent in these guys' minds than I think a lot of fans realize. Fans go, why won't this guy change? Because these guys think pretty highly of themselves. And they think, I got here by being this way. You stick with who you are. Which is not always a great way to look at things. But that's how NFL coaches look at them a lot of the time. Let's see. LaFleur, yeah. Yeah, he does look short of answers. He just kind of looks like a guy who doesn't know what to do. It is very reminiscent of McCarthy in his last year. Where early on in that year, you could tell Mike just didn't, I don't know what to do. And I think that happens, again, more than we realize with coaches. We just always think, well, they'll think of something. But I think a lot of times these guys just go, I got nothing else. That's it. I'm out. Right? Like Ali after he busted out, like Foreman after Ali busted out the rope-a-dope. Is that all you got, George? Yeah, that's it. I don't really have anything else. I think that happens a lot with coaches, for sure. I don't think he really has any answers. Is he the man who can lead this team? I haven't totally given up on LaFleur. This is a bad year for him. And certainly it raises a lot of questions. But the last 3 years were so good. And it wasn't all Rodgers. I know everybody assumes it was, but it wasn't all Rodgers. A lot of that was what LaFleur brought to the team. So I think he's still the man who can get it done. I haven't totally given up on him, but the seat is warmer now than it was, even with the extension. Yeah. So great stuff, Rob. Thank you for that. Okay, so those are, let's see, that's Twitter. The Twitter DMs, the emails, the Facebook. Okay, there we go. So we come to the final question of the night from my former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, mentioned him earlier, one of my bestest friends in the world, Gene Bosling. Gene, you get the hammer as usual. Gene writes, I have two questions. One, if you were giving out gold, silver, and bronze medals to the people who have screwed the pooch the hardest on this thing, who gets them and why? Two, it's time to have the conversation with him. There's no getting around it now. How do you go about it, and how do you think he handles it? Put it another way, is there any chance he won't be petty? All right, so gold, silver, and bronze medals to the people who've screwed the Packers the most. Ooh, this is tough. So you sent this last night, and I've been thinking about it. This is tough. Well, the gold medal to me, I think, has to go to Joe Barry. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Strike that. The gold medal has to go to Matt LaFleur. I just said a minute ago, I still have some faith in him. And I do. But I think he gets the gold medal this year. You know, he's the one who hired Joe Barry. He's the one who apparently won't tell Joe Barry to shake things up on defense. You know, he's the one who won't get after Rodgers to run the offense the way he wants it run. Or if it is him running it, he's the one who won't run the ball enough. You know, and the team's effort has waned a lot at times. So that all falls on the coach. So I got to give LaFleur the gold medal. The silver is Joe Barry. Because, I mean, the defense from week one has been a disaster. So I would definitely say Joe Barry hasn't changed up enough. Still running the soft zone. Still having the DBs 8 yards off the line. So, yeah, I would say Joe Barry. Bronze. Oof. Well, I guess I got to go Aaron Rodgers on the bronze. Just hasn't been the same player that he was the last couple years. And it looks like Father Time's caught up with him, or is catching up to him. Again, he may not be washed up, but I think he's pre-washed. So, yeah, there you go. LaFleur, gold, Barry, silver, Rodgers, bronze. And you're right. Yeah, you mentioned this. This was your question a few weeks back. It is time to have the conversation with 12. You're right. It's time to figure out the first thing they have to figure out with Rodgers. Do you have any idea of what you want to do next year? Do you know? Do you want to keep playing, or do you want to ride off into the sunset? And my guess is he doesn't know. In that case, it's time to tell Rodgers, once this thing is mathematically over, we're going to the kid. We're going to play the kid. We're going to sit you. And you just got to be straight up, man to man with him about it. And just say, look. You know, he's going to say, look, it didn't work out this year. You don't know what you're going to do yet. That's fine. But we got to give the kid a look. Either to boost his trade value or to figure out what we have in the event that you do ride off into the sunset. But if you don't know, that's fine. But we have to have some idea of what our future could look like in that case. In any event, we have to have some idea. So we have to play the kid. And just tell him straight up. How do I think he handles it? I think, you know, I just mentioned this a minute ago. I think he'll be pissy about it because it's just his general nature, I think, to be pissy. But I think if you tell him straight up and say, hey, we're going to blame the thumb, I don't think he would necessarily mind at this point. Maybe, especially once they're mathematically limited, I don't think he would mind not risking his thumb any further. So he'll be a little pissy about it, because again, that's Aaron Rodgers, but he'll definitely be a little petty. But I think he may handle it better than people think. Maybe I'm just, that's wishful thinking, but that's my opinion anyway. So thank you for those great, those were great questions, Gino. Thank you. Okay. So, hold on a second here. Thanks to everyone who sent something in, especially after a loss like this, especially on a Thursday night. Goddamn Thursday night football. So, considering all the circumstances, it's extra appreciated. Big picture time now. Just about 80 minutes in. Oh, my gosh. Yes. It is time for defensive coordinator Joe Barry to go. It's been time, as a matter of fact. And while it may not happen before the end of the season, in all honesty, what reason would there even be to do that now? Packers fans can rest assured it will happen at season's end. The same issues have popped up over and over again this season, and Barry has not shown any real ability to fix them. Not only that, he has not shown any real willingness to even try new things. The same coverages, the same blitzes that never get home, the list goes on and on. The 2022 Packers defense has been one of the most disappointing groups in recent team history, and that, despite the solid work he did in year one, will ultimately cost Barry his job. But, a question for my fellow Packers fans. Should we really be that excited about the inevitability of Barry being fired? After all, the man who will be hiring his replacement will still be head coach Matt LaFleur. The same man who hired Barry, despite having Ejiro Evero right there as the other finalist. Evero is now leading the Denver Broncos defense to a fantastic season, and is looked at as one of the brightest young minds in the game, and a likely future head coaching candidate. The same man, LaFleur, who hired disastrous special teams coaches Sean Menenga and Maurice Straton, and the less that's said there, the better. The same man, LaFleur, who kept Mike Pettine on as defensive coordinator after allowing roughly 400,000 rushing yards to the San Francisco 49ers in the 2020 NFC Championship game. Although, to be fair, the belief here has always been that LaFleur was essentially forced to keep Pettine by upper management. Regardless, when it comes to big hires, coordinator hires, LaFleur has mostly struck out, other than hiring Nathaniel Hackett. The jury is still out on promoting Adam Stenovich to offensive coordinator. So sure, perhaps removing Barry will lead LaFleur to getting the right man for the job next season. It's certainly worth a shot. But unless LaFleur re-examines his hiring and coaching philosophies, there's a good chance, based on his track record, we're doing this all over again with the next guy. And at a certain point, LaFleur will run out of bodies to toss overboard, and the next one to go will be his. Okay, so that just about wraps up this episode of Lemps Talkin' Pack. I hope you had, again, I don't know if I'd say fun, but I'll just keep saying it. If these pods make you feel even a little better, then I have done my job. It's always fun talking Packers, right? It's like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good. The Packers will be back in action next weekend after the mini-bye at Philly. That one is set for Sunday night. That's going to be on Sunday Night Football on NBC with a 7:20 p.m. Lambeau time kickoff. Philly's good. I don't really, what really do I have to say about Philly at this point? They're good. They're really good. They're 8-1. Travel to Indianapolis on Sunday. It's a good chance they're going to be 9-1. Philly's a tough place to play. Notoriously tough place to play. Do you have a lot of confidence in the Packers to win this game? I don't. I have almost no confidence that they're going to win this game. No, none. Of course, I'll be back next Monday morning, the morning of Monday the 28th, I mean, to recap that one, win, lose, or draw, so keep your eyes and your ears open for that one, and yes, I'll keep you posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis, this has been Lemp's Talkin' Pack, thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation, I love you, I love you, I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world, and remember, always and forever, go Pack, go!